pray everybody is doing well on this beautiful Lord's Day. It might rain a little bit later, but at least for right now, it's a gorgeous day. Amen? Amen. Well, before we get started, look around. Give somebody a wave. Give somebody a smile. One that's welcoming. One that says, hey, I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad I'm here today. I was out of town, out of the state, actually last week, doing a wedding of my best friend growing up's daughter. So you know how that is. You know, they can tend to be a basket case. If he's watching, he was a little bit of a basket case for at least for that particular day. But I'm assuming that's okay when your only daughter is getting married. So anyway, things went well, and I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord with each and every one of you at Central Baptist. If you're part of our online audience today, be sure to say hello to Dr. John Cazito, who's back there interacting with you. We want you to know that you're a part of us as well, and we're so tickled that you're joining us this morning as we gather around the Lord's Word, and as we also have a very special day today. You know, the pandemic has kind of kept us from being able to do a lot of the things that we normally would like to do, but today is actually Law Enforcement Recognition Sunday, so we want to make sure that we recognize those that are near and dear to our hearts, those that in some way touch our lives through Central Baptist Church, through our families, or through any other venues that we have an opportunity to interact in. So as we get started this morning, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're grateful and thankful that you have allowed us to be able to be in your house today, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity by which to be able to serve you and just to come into the peace and the quiet of your house with fellow believers, those that are like-minded in the same manner that we are. Lord, we're thankful for technology that brings the opportunity for those who are providentially hindered from being able to be with us today in person, but yet they're still able to be with us through technology. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for that as well. And today, Lord, we just ask that you would help us that in every aspect of what we do, help us, Lord, to magnify you today. Help us to draw close to you and lift you up, and may you speak to our hearts today. Move us close to you in a way that you never have before, simply because we've taken this opportunity to gather together and lift up your name. Lord, we pray that all that we say and all that we do will truly glorify you, as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love to have you be singing, playing instruments, whatever. So that'll be great. So anyway, there'll be more on that in church emails, but please start signing up. Let's start this morning. Please stand as we sing hymn number 350, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
Still trying to somewhat get back to what we knew as normal, even though I don't know that that the old normal will ever be the new normal, will it? There'll always be something that's kind of changed along the way and may never be what it used to be, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. That can oftentimes be a good thing. And one of the things that we had done in the past, and today we're going to do again. The last time we actually had a chance to recognize those that are part of our law enforcement community was in 2019, because as we entered into 2020, it threw us for a loop as a world, didn't it? It was one of those situations where COVID changed so many things. It changed how we came together. It changed so many aspects of who we are. But this is 2022. So we missed 2020 and 2021, but in 2022, we want to make sure that we show our appreciation along the way. And today, we would like to honor our law enforcement officers and their families. You see, our law enforcement officers are oftentimes belittled. They're made fun of. They're disrespected by many segments of our society. They're not the derogatory names that they are called, but they are our policemen, deputies, patrolmen, state troopers, marshals, special agents, and correction officers. They're also our judges, attorneys. They are our parole and probation officers. They're the front line of defense for those who would take from us life and liberty. They're the front line who deal with the ugliness of society on a daily basis. Their families have given much as their spouse, father or mother, son or daughter is on the front line, risking their life and physical well-being for each and every one of us. They sacrifice in times of emergency and in crisis. Our law enforcement officers deserve not our pity, but our respect and our support. They are maligned by stereotypes developed by those who seek to undermine their effectiveness. The stress that they experience is uncommon. In our country, one officer loses his life in the line of duty every 36 hours. Law enforcement officers have some of the higher rates of stress-related diseases among professions in the nation. It's because you never know from one day to the next, or even from one moment to the next, what the job may call for. It's extreme highs, it's extreme lows. So today we want to recognize those that touch our lives in these very special ways as law enforcement officers in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I want to tell you a little bit about them. I'm going to call them up. I'm going to have them stand up here in the front and just kind of line up across the front so you'll get a chance and an opportunity to be able to see them. So with no further ado, I want to first of all introduce Rick Bailiff. Where is Rick? Come on up, brother. We have a few that I'm going to mention. They may not be with us this morning, but I'm still going to tell you a little bit about them because I want you to listen to what a lot of these folks that you interact with on a daily basis and maybe hear or learn some things that you didn't know about them, okay? Rick is with the Guilford County Sheriff's Department. Rick retired in 2019 from the Greensboro Police Department with the rank of lieutenant after 31 years of service. After a short law enforcement hiatus, Rick hired on with the Guilford County Sheriff's Department in 2020. He works as a deputy in the Special Investigations Unit dealing with convicted felons. Rick assists with security for judges as they serve in the courtrooms, and he also assists patrol when they are shorthanded. Rick was also his BLET class president. Now, some of you are going, what's BLET? That's Basic Law Enforcement Training. So that's the academy, as most of us old-timers may know that. He was actually class president of his class. That's been a few years ago, wasn't it? Wow. Been a little while. Now, what I'm going to get you to do, I don't want you to give them applause just yet because I've got several things that I want you to do. I'll give you that chance, I promise. So just hold your applause until we get through with the rest of our list, okay? Second of all, Tim Stewart. I'm not sure if Tim is here today. A lot of you will see Tim around. Tim Stewart is with the North Carolina A&T State University Police. He has the rank of lieutenant, wears badge 903. He works in patrol and night ops. He's a specialized driving instructor, firearms instructor, and also part of the rapid deployment team instructor. So he teaches rapid deployment, and you can imagine that that carries so many different connotations. When something needs rapidly deployed, he trains the teams to do that. He's also a former special weapons and tactics or SWAT team operator, as well as sniper. So just remember that when you see Tim. This may tell you a little bit more about who Tim is. Okay. Third, we have Andy Avery. I think Andy's with us today, but Andy was with the Thomasville Police Department, having the rank of Master Police Officer, wearing badge number 187. Andy was currently serving as a school resource officer, but also worked in highway criminal interdiction on I-85. He was a part of the SWAT team. He was a SWAT team leader as well as trainer. He also was on the HSI task force and was duly sworn with Thomasville as well as the Department of Homeland Security. He is a BLET instructor at Davidson Community College, and he has received a life-saving award and commendations for disrupting a national drug trafficking organization. These are people that you interact with on a daily basis, and like I say, some things that you often didn't know about them. Okay. Fourth, Fred Penson. I know Fred's here. We'll get Fred to join us on the stage as well. Fred was, we'll call him retired, although he doesn't look old enough to be retired. Fred was with the retired from the Greensboro Police Department, wearing badge 131. Fred graduated from Emory-Riddle Aeronautics University with a Bachelor of Science in Aeronautical Science and all of his pilot certifications. He was a flight instructor in Greensboro and Atlanta and flew corporate aircraft for 4 years before deciding to give it up in the 1990s. He was a supervisor with Equifax in Atlanta for several years before moving to Orlando, Florida. After the September the 11th, 2001 attacks, Fred wanted to get back to his community, and since he was too old to join the military, he joined the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Orlando, Florida, and served as a deputy in patrol for a year before returning home to the Greensboro Police Department, where he served there for 15 years before his retirement in September of 2018. Fred worked in patrol for 8 years and in community resources the last six. He worked with communities and city resources to resolve larger issues that patrol was not able to solve. He was also the traffic enforcement officer for the east side of Greensboro, which taught him compassion and forgiveness. Fred was a police training officer, pistol expert. He won six commendations, two life-saving awards, and spent 5 years on the underwater recovery team, also known as the dive team, where his team was tasked with recovery of bodies and physical evidence concerning crimes. Okay. Don Proper, Brother Don, if you'll join us here. This is a face that you have seen quite often around here at Central Baptist Church. We kind of call him our deputy. Yeah, you see him very often milling through the facility. He serves us here almost every Sunday at Central Baptist Church. But Don is a deputy with the Guilford County Sheriff's Department. He has served 29 years in law enforcement. 13 and a half of those years he served with the NYPD, also known as the New York Police Department. Don worked in the narcotics division and was a detective for Harlem Central. Don also responded to the 9/11 World Trade Center bombing, working in the areas of rescue and recovery. Then the last 15 and a half years, he has served with the Guilford County Sheriff's Department, serving in the areas of patrol, legal process, 50B domestic violence, and warrant squad. He also serves on a crime repression team. Don is currently serving with the FBI Safe Streets Task Force. So this is the fellow that you see pretty much about every Sunday here, keeping an eye on each and every one of us to not only keep us safe, but to keep the community safe from us as well.
All right. The sixth person that we want to mention to you is Monica Queen. Monica, if you'll join us on the platform. Like I say, a lot of you have seen and know Monica as one of our church members here, but Monica is retired from the Los Angeles Police Department, otherwise known as the LAPD. Her position title was a Senior Police Service Rep 1, which basically means she was a telecommunicator wearing badge B9871. She served as a watch commander for the Valley Communications Division on the PM watch with a staff. She was supervising a staff of 120 officers. Monica was a supervisor of the year for Southern California in 1999 and LAPD supervisor of the year for communications in 2009. Monica retired in 2010 after 30 years and 5 months of service. And she put a little note on there for me. She had to do that extra 5 months because she had to make up a little bit of maternity time. So Monica Queen, LAPD, retired. Okay, Chris Sawyer, is Chris with us this morning? Well, we want to make sure that we mention Chris. Chris retired as a second lieutenant with the Fairfax County, Virginia Police Department, wearing badge 2221. His duties while he served was patrol, criminal investigations, supervisor, CDU, which is a tactical defense that is sent out for riots and other types of public disturbances. And Resource Management Bureau, which was otherwise known as RMB, that essentially states that he was a project manager with the department, and he received a Team Excellence Award for the new police cruiser design and ergonomic configurations to make police officers' jobs easier. Chris was also honored, having received the highest grades in his academy class as a cadet, and received the Director's Award for ranking number one in his academy class. Chris also received a Team Excellence Award for leading the team that arrested a suspect wanted by Interpol for several homicides in Serbia. Blake Carter, if you'll please join us on the platform. Once again, one that you know and see around and have seen for quite some time. Blake is currently serving with the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, also known as NCDPS. He serves in the area of probation and parole, assigned to Guilford County, serving since January of 2022. Blake holds an Associate of Applied Science degree in criminal justice from Randolph Community College, and was a magna cum laude graduate with his Bachelor of Science degree in Criminal Justice Homeland Security from Liberty University in December of 2021. And is currently spending the next 3 weeks down in Salemburg in training. He did 3 weeks, and now he's got his other 3 weeks in training. So he will be serving probation and parole right here in Guilford County. Kevin Edmond, I don't know if Kevin made it or not. He is actually serving. He was going to try to make it. He's another one of our deputies that serves. He serves in this area, but he's also served our church on several occasions. You may have had an opportunity to see him. He drops by, checks on us in the office during the day. He stops by and checks on our church during the night. So if you run into Deputy Edmond along the way, be sure to let him know how much we love him, and we missed having him with us here today. Now, the one thing that I want to say is that we're so grateful for each and every one of these men that are represented in our church, in our community. How many of you all learned something new about one of these folks that are standing before you today? Yeah, a lot of you sit back and go, yeah, sometimes there's a wow, okay? Yeah, these are the folks that are on the front line, and they're not just law enforcement officers. And I'm going to get into that in the Word in just a minute. They're not just law enforcement officers, but they're our law enforcement officers that are ministers of God to each and every one of us, according to Romans chapter 13. As citizens, we now stand to show respect to them and to honor them and to commit ourselves to pray for them and to pray for their families. You know, we stand today to say that we appreciate the sacrifices that you and your families make for each and every one of us. May God bless you and your families because you are men and women of uncommon valor. Would you please stand with me as we show them our appreciation, and I'm going to present to them a little gift. Specific to their departments, whether they were a police deputy, communicator, or probation and parole. That's why I'm sitting up here juggling, you know, like a monkey working a math problem. But guys and gals, thank you so much for your service to our community, to each and every one of us. You are always welcome here. Know that you have family in Central Baptist Church. Would you please give them a hand? And in their honor, in their honor, as they make their way back to their seats, Tim, last slide.
You forgot one person.
Who?
You forgot you.
Oh. Oh, man. Hey, listen, we have some fun at Central Baptist Church as well, don't we? There you go. So Rick told me, he said I did leave out one person. So Rick, I appreciate the honor. I also served the citizens of Lynchburg, Virginia, wearing badge 248, and I didn't retire. I got promoted. I got promoted from police corporal to pastor. So here I am. That was actually 30-plus years ago. It would be 32 years ago that I had the opportunity to serve the citizens of of Lynchburg, Virginia. And like I say, I understand what it's like to be behind that badge and the stresses that come along with it. And guys and gals, we appreciate all that you do. There's all kinds of things that take place and go on that you don't know. I think Monica was working when the O.J. Simpson chase was taking place in California. The anniversary of the riots. The anniversary of
the 29th.
The 30 years of when the riots took place back in L.A. So, and then, like I say, all these things, these are folks that you just, you don't really know all the things that they see. And we want to bring that to light in your life. And as you have to deal with them, and I say you're going to have to deal with them. You know, I won't ask you, don't raise your hand. How many of you all have ever had to interact with a law enforcement officer on the side of the road because of a blue light special? Now, it's really ironic that most of the people would sit back and say, you know, they might have gotten upset about it because it may have cost you some money, but whatever. But the bottom line was, most of the time, if you're really honest, you deserved it because 65 and a 35 is a little fast, isn't it? We understand what that's like. But there's a point I want to make this morning in regard to our scripture. If you've got your Bible, we're going to look at the book of Romans chapter 13. Because so often in this day and age of disrespect for authority and specifically disrespect for those who are law enforcement representatives, I think there's something that's very interesting and very key that we find in the scriptures concerning our law enforcement officers as well as those who have that authority over us, regardless of what area it may be. It could be politics,
But today, we're specifically looking at the law enforcement officer. Now, as we consider them, I want you to think about what these scriptures say. We're gonna look at a few of them. Romans chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says this. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." Now, I want to pause right there for just a minute. Remember what we said, the governing authorities, those who have been appointed to have authority over us, and that includes law enforcement. The verse continues on, verse 1, "For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Does that give you a different representation of those that you are coming in contact with? Now, when I said authority, I mean authority in so many different ways. When I say authority, I am also talking about authority of your teacher in your classroom. I'm talking about the authority of the law enforcement officer. I'm talking about the authority of government officials. I am talking about the authority of those who have supervision over you. They have been placed there by God, and God does not make mistakes, does he? Now, oftentimes we will look back and we can see where there were some people who got a little crazy. I mean, look at Saul. Saul in the Bible was appointed by God as king, wasn't he? Did Saul get a little crazy? Sure he did. God also had a successor appointed to him. I think one of the greatest examples that we can find in God's Word of a person who understood that if the authority that was over them had been placed there by God was David himself, King David himself. You know why? Because there were times when David had the opportunity to take Saul out. Remember? Remember what happened? Remember the time at the cave when David was in the cave and he was hiding because he was on the run from Saul. Y'all remember that passage? By the way, this means yes. Y'all remember that? And what happened was, of all those places, you know, Saul's army rides up and Saul has to go relieve himself, and he goes into the exact cave that David's hiding in. And if you remember, all of David's men that were with him said, "This has to be ordained by God. I mean, this is your time to take him out. This is your time to be king. Did God not tell you you would be king, David?" David's like, "Yeah, but here's something else we need to understand. God does not need our help." David knew there was some tension in his life. He knew, yeah, it seemed like a perfect setup. It seemed like a perfect way for him to be able to take Saul out and assume the throne that God had told him he would assume. But yet there was something not right about that. And therefore, if you remember how the story went, he was close enough to him, he cut the corner of his robe off. And then when he went out and stopped him, and he said, "Saul," he said, "if I wanted to kill you, I would have done it, because look, I've been close enough to you. I got the corner of your robe right here. I'm not after you." He said, "I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to take your position." And yet, what do we see? The story goes on. I always looked at it like this. About two chapters after that particular passage, we find that Saul's out in battle, and Saul actually does get killed in battle. If you will remember, he said that he wanted his shield bearer. He was mortally injured, and he asked his shield bearer, he said, "Yeah, take the sword and take my life." And the shield bearer's like, "I can't do that. You're the king. You have authority. You're the king. I can't take the life of the king." So it says that Saul fell on his own sword, and then the shield bearer did the same thing. And then there was some guy coming by who decides, "Oh, I want to look like a hero." So he picks up, you know, Saul's sword, and he goes and he finds David. And ironically enough, he tells David the actual story that happened. That he said Saul was mortally wounded in battle. And he said everything in the story was correct with the exception of one thing. See, he basically said that Saul told him to run him through with the sword because he didn't want to be taken captive and tortured and be a prisoner of the enemy. That's not who... Saul said that to his shield bearer, remember? But ironically enough, David sat back and listened to this story, and he asked a question. He said, "Did it not bother you to harm the Lord's anointed?"
And I'm sure this guy's going. And then he lost his life because of lack of respect for the authority of the position. He lost his life because of a lie. It wasn't even true. I'm sure at that point he was going, look, I was just kidding. I just found this. Whatever the case may be, it cost him his life. Now, let's go back and read that verse 1 again, keeping it in context. As we think about those we come in contact with, let every soul be subjected to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Did you realize that everybody we just mentioned up here has been appointed in their position by God? You realize that? To carry out what they carry out. To do what they do. Do you realize that as I stand before you today, God has appointed me to do this? Now, the thing about it is, we're living in a day and age where respect is waning terribly, isn't it? We no longer respect the positions. I still remember, even when I came to this church 20 years ago, and I was talking to the interim pastor, Jay Boljack, and he said, well, what do you want people to call you? And I was like, Roy? And he said, no. He said, the problem is there is a growing lack of respect for the position and the authority, the spiritual authority of the pastor. And I asked him, I said, well, you're older and wiser. What should people call me then? He said, how about Pastor Roy? And it stuck for 20 years. He said, because you know what? He said, there is a responsibility that goes with that position. He said, there is authority that goes with that position. Now, as a godly person, a member of a church, you place yourself under the authority of the pastor. Boy, that's for some people, they have a hard time with that because they don't like any authority in or over their lives. But you see, you know what God told me? God told me, as your pastor, it is my job to watch over your soul because I will give an account for it. These law enforcement officers, they watch over your health and safety on a daily basis. And sometimes when we get the blue light special, it's because we are endangering the health or safety of somebody else. We have violated the rules or the laws of the government. By the way, law enforcement doesn't make up the rules. They don't make up the laws. They only enforce the ones that are on the books. Don't take it out on them. If you have a problem with it, talk to your legislators. They enforce the rules of the land. That's what they do. Let every person be subject to the authorities under them that are appointed by God. Verse 2 says, therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now let me make this very, very plain, what verse 2 is explaining there. He says, if you resist the authorities that God has placed in and over your life, you're not just resisting them, you are resisting God himself. Did you see that? Do you see, let me read that to you or give that to you in yet another translation. The ESV reads, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. From God. From God. Are we starting to have a little bit of a different view of authority in our lives? Are we starting to understand a little bit more? Now, I know that most of us in here don't have that problem, but society as a whole has a problem with authority, don't they? They have a terrible problem. They don't want anybody over them. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. And yet God Almighty, listen, as a believer, you don't have to like what I say, but you have to understand that it comes from God's word. God says there is authority that's placed over your life, and when you resist them, you're not just resisting them, you're resisting me. Let me tell you how that works from my perspective as a pastor now. You know what God told me? God said, your job is to feed the sheep. Your job is to make disciples. Your job is to preach the word of God. You can't force anybody into salvation. You cannot force anybody into discipleship. You be faithful to do what I have called you to do. The results are up to me. And oh, by the way, if they resist the message of salvation, if they resist discipleship, they're not resisting you, they're resisting me. I'm like, hey, if you got a problem with the message, take it up with the author. I'm a messenger. That's what I am. Sometimes I get frustrated particularly the Postal Service over the last several years. Anybody else feel my pain? And sometimes I'll get to the point where I am, let's just call it passionate, when I'm on the phone with them. How many of y'all ever been passionate on the phone? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down, right? And all of a sudden the Lord reminds me, this is a person that's designed to help me. They didn't make the rules. They didn't lose my package. They didn't ship it 50 ways from Sunday. It's not their fault. And there are times when I'll have to say, look, Matilda. I hope there's no Matildas around. I'm just using that as a, look, Matilda, I want to apologize to you. I want to tell you I'm sorry. And here's the reason why. I know that you don't have my package over there in a closet and you're just on purpose trying to keep it away from me. In fact, I know you probably hadn't even touched my package. You're probably in a completely different state and region of the United States. So let me just say this. I'm just venting. I'm not upset with you, but will you allow me to vent? And most of them say, no problem at all. Vent away. Once they realize I haven't made it personal. Folks, when you get pulled over by law enforcement, it's not personal. When you have to pay your taxes, it's not personal. And some of us are going, well, I don't like paying them either. But here's what I know. By the way, this scripture goes on and even mentions that. We'll get to it in just a minute. But he says in verse 2, if you resist the authority, you're resisting God. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, let me make that a little bit clear. Let me read that to you in ESV, because it makes it a lot more clear. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Let me make that plain and clear. You don't have to worry about getting a speeding ticket if you don't speed. You don't have to worry about getting arrested if you're not violating the law. You don't have to worry about going to prison for tax evasion if you're paying your taxes, right? You know what? Why is it that people are sitting back and go, well, I'm afraid of the police. Well, what are you doing to make you afraid of them? They're here for you. They're here to look after you. And I want to say something. You know, why I have attention, because this used to drive me crazy when I served. So if you're watching or if you're here, oftentimes what would happen, I saw this happen a lot with parents and they had their little kids with them, and maybe their little kid was misbehaving or something like that, and they'd say, I'm going to tell you one thing, if you don't straighten up, he's going to take you away and lock you up. And literally, I would say to parents, don't tell them that. I said, yeah, no, listen, I'm here to look after the health, the safety, the welfare of your child. It's not going to do any good to have your children afraid of the ones that are there to protect them and to serve them. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know what you should say? You should say, there goes an American hero. You should teach them in the same manner that we should teach our children with law enforcement and with our military personnel, that they're our heroes. They protect, they purchased, protected, and preserve our freedoms that we have today. Yeah, it's kind of funny that everybody who hates the police, who's the first person they call when things get sideways? The police. Yeah, I look and I've watched, and you see these horrid scenes unfolding on television where active shootings are involved. And all the video you see, let me tell you what you see. You see law enforcement running toward the problem when you see everybody else running away from the problem. Those are the people that we honor today. The ones in our midst, the ones that are all around us. The ones who do a oftentimes thankless job, that we might be able to exercise the freedoms that we have. That verse 3 basically says this: don't break the law and you won't be afraid of the authority if you do what's right. That's why you go up and you can have good conversation with them. You don't have to be afraid of them. Verse 4 goes on, it says, for he, this is, we're talking about authorities, for he is God's minister to you. So people don't like to hear that. He is God's minister to you. Do you realize that these law enforcement officers that we have recognized today are ministers? They're not necessarily in a pulpit preaching God's word in the way that I am, but they are ordained by God to minister in the area of law enforcement. And they have been given the authority by which to do that. That badge represents their authority, because that badge represents a group of people that is far bigger than any one single person. That's why it's important. They're ministers. Verse 4, for he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Let me put it to you this way. I've actually been pulled over before, and I know a lot of y'all are going, no. And I actually have received a ticket. Did I deserve that ticket? I did. I will say this. Now, that was in my younger days. Now, I've also been pulled over in my older days. And you know, I did what we refer to around here as a California stop. Y'all know what that is, right? You just don't ever come to a complete stop. You just kind of ease up. It's almost like what we would call yield. You just look, it was clear. I was on my way home from church on a Wednesday night, and I made a California stop out in the country. And lo and behold, in the dark of the shadows under the bridge, sat a Guilford County deputy sheriff. And I saw lights come on, and I thought, nah, they wouldn't be after me. Surely he didn't see my rolling California stop. And then I saw him do a U-turn heading in my direction, and I thought, nah, Blake was in front of me. Maybe he's after Blake. He was not after Blake. I saw the blue lights come on, and I pulled over into the Family Dollar parking lot, and he got out with his rookie, and he walked up, and he said, do you know why I stopped? I need to see your license and registration. You know why I stopped you? I said, absolutely. I said, I blew through that stop sign back there. And he went, and he kind of looked at me funny, went back to his car, and he came back up, and he goes, try not to do that again. I was like, thank you very much. I got a break. You know what? Honestly, I gave people a break when they were honest to me. You know why? Because 99% of the people I talk to try to lie to me. What was this illegal drug substance in your pants? Those are not my pants. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, listen, you really want to get in good with a police officer? Blow their mind. Tell them the truth. You know why I stopped you? Yes, I was speeding and swerved off the road because I was having a road rage fit. You might shock them enough that you'll get a break. Their authority in your life. Now, here's the thing. That verse 4 goes on and says this. They're there to protect you and to serve you, but they're also there to spank your tail when you get out of line. So we don't like that part, do we? We don't like that part where it says they have the authority to straighten us out. They have the authority to write that ticket. They have the authority to take your freedom away from you because you have violated such law. He said, do right. Don't be afraid of them. But he's also saying in the scriptures this, if you do wrong, be very afraid because they will land on you. There is a fine line. I call it a switch that a law enforcement officer has. That you can be gracious, you can be loving, and you will, but you also have to be firm. there comes a point in a time where the line is drawn. Don't cross this line. Don't take advantage of grace as it's extended to you. And by the way, if grace gets extended to you by a law enforcement officer, that's your chance right there. You won't get it again. You think if I did a California stop again and the same deputy stopped me, that I'm going to get the same love I got before? Negative. Because I don't deserve it at that point. I don't deserve it at that point. So he's saying this in the scripture. If you're doing right, authority's great. You don't have to worry about it. But if you're doing wrong, be very careful. Latter part of verse 4. Why? Because he's God's minister to an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. When you're practicing evil, God has given the right to those in authority to correct what is wrong. When somebody is out there who is an active shooter, who has gone into a place to do harm and havoc and mayhem and to take life and to endanger health and safety, God's ordained authority is given the right to execute judgment at that point. Oh, by the way, the law does as well. But remember what the word said. I want to go back. If you are pushing against those in authority, you are pushing against God Himself. They are ordained ministers in what they have been called to do. He goes on and he says this. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about authority over you. You also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And today, that is the reason why we pause and we take this moment to honor those who serve in a position, who serve and put themselves in harm's way, that we may sit here and laugh and enjoy the freedoms that we have. You know what? Because in any second, that could change. You know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for the fact that when that second comes, there is somebody to stand in the gap for me and for you. You know what? It's a terrible situation when action has to be taken. But God has placed them in that position by which to do exactly that. You see, we owe a debt of gratitude to all law enforcement personnel and agencies. They lay their lives on the line for us in order to protect us. And in order to serve us, we should express our thankfulness to them and to tell them how much we appreciate their service, because they have been appointed by God according to Romans chapter 13, verse 2. And any of you men or women who ever doubt that, I want you to write that verse down. Romans chapter 13, verse 2. That is your order. I know that you stood there and you raised your right hand and you took an oath to serve, but let me make you the promise. When you did that, that was secondary to the one that God ordained you to do. Because let me make you this promise. If God didn't want you in that position, you wouldn't be there. I learned a long time ago, God put me where He put me for a reason. I wasn't smart enough to do it. I sit back. I laugh to this day. I giggle sometimes at what God does. I think I've shared with you all before that when I entered the police academy the very first day, they said, take out a pencil and a piece of paper. They gave us a math test. Oh, mercy. I'm not a math guy. And I literally looked at that paper and you know, sometimes people exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating with you when I tell you that when that math test was done, I honestly believe I had a zero. I didn't think I had anything right on it. Boy, I turned stuff in. I looked like a mathematical and mechanical whiz. I had math all over that paper. Not a thing of it that I feel was right. I did not hear anything. None of us heard anything about that math test after day one of the police academy. Months later, when we finished up, they said to the whole Central Virginia Criminal Justice Academy there. They said, all of you all will report to your respective departments on Monday morning, with the exception of the following people. And my name was read in that crew. And I thought, what is this, Remedial Academy? And then I was like, no, that one right there wouldn't be in a Remedial Academy. And all of us were they dismissed the rest of the folks. They came up to us and they said, okay, you guys are going to report back here next Monday. Remember that math test that y'all took on the first day? And I was like, oh, yeah, I can remember that for the rest of my life. They said, you all are the ones that passed the math test, and you all will have another week because you all will be the breath alcohol operators for your departments. And I was like, literally thought I had a zero. I probably did. But God helped me. He fixed my paper because he wanted me to do that for some odd reason. And I give him all the praise and the credit and the glory for. Listen, if God wants you somewhere, there's nothing on this side of glory that will stop you from getting there. But let me say this, if God doesn't want you in a place, there's nothing on this side of God's glory that will get you there either. So everyone is appointed. The authorities over you are appointed and are ministers of God for your good, which means they also have the authority to exercise that wrath. Today, we appreciate those appointed by God in the area of law enforcement. We pray that each and every one of us will be in subjection to them according to Romans chapter 13, verse 5. And the reason why is because they represent Him, God Almighty, according to Romans chapter 13 and verse 2. So what does all this have to do with as we come together today? Because God is everything. We're to be about the Father's business in each and everything that we do and all that we do. Yeah, He is our authority. Yeah, are we following our authority? Think about how rebellious we are as Christians. Don't we rebel against God's authority? Some of us say, well, I don't know about that. Well, okay, tell me a day you went by and didn't sin. And some of y'all said, well, I was in a coma back maybe then. Well, listen, if you're living and breathing and you hear my voice today, we can't make it through one single day without a sin of some sort. If you got behind your automobile driver's wheel today, you probably sinned, because there are people out there driving that make you think of things that don't please Jesus. And the Lord says, don't cultivate it here, because if it gets cultivated here, it'll drop down to here. So what does that have to do with that? Are we being subject to the authority, God's authority in our lives? And that, hey, listen, that's a broad statement, isn't it? The way He leads us, how He leads us, the people He's put in our lives to lead us, the authorities that He has placed over us. Are we being subject to the authority? First of all, I ask you this. Have you trusted the Father through Jesus the Son? Are you saved or are you just playing? Oh, church is a good thing to do. I was brought up doing that, been doing it all my life. Matter of fact, I came to church when I was in my mama's womb. Been here that long. Well, you know what? You can still die and go to hell with great perfect attendance for your whole life. It's about a relationship. Have you trusted in God through Christ? Are you trusting Him today to lead your life, to put you in the places that He's going to put you in, that you might be used for His honor and for His glory? It's not about you. See, God put me here for His purpose and for His reason, not mine. He's put me here to preach this word to this group. Plain and simple. You know what? Are we embracing that? Now, some of y'all sit back and say, you know what? I hate my job. Well, then learn what God wants you to learn there, and then He might let you go somewhere else. Accomplish what God wants you to accomplish where you are, then He might let you go somewhere else. But for right now, are you being subject to the authorities that are over you? Have you trusted our Lord and Savior? Listen, if you haven't trusted Him, I don't care about your perfect attendance or lack thereof. You know, it's not about doing good. Doing good is what we do because we love Him. That doing good is not salvation. So are you saved? Have you trusted Him? Are you born again? Listen, if not, and the Lord has called you, it's just knocking on your heart's door today, then I'm going to simply ask you just where you are, whether you're part of our online audience or whether you're here, just bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Lord, I need you. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. And let me make you a promise. If you did that, then He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But now He says, look, you have just placed yourself under my saving grace and authority. Now I want you to act like one of my children, and here's the rule book. Right here. This is it. You know what really amazes me? How many people profess to be Christians that are so confused about what this says, it blows my mind. And I'm not talking about just the average church. I'm talking about leaders, spiritual leaders, who have got this completely wrong. And people say, well, what makes you think you're right? Well, because thus saith the Lord, most of it's in black and white. When the Lord says, thou shalt not, last time I checked, that means thou shalt not. It doesn't say thou shalt not unless, blah, 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 except blah, blah, blah. No. You know what I love so much about God? God, as complex as He is very simple-minded. He can reach the simple-minded person like me. He didn't make it complicated. He made it easy. He said, unless you become like a little child and have faith of a little child, you'll not see the kingdom of God. Little kids trust, don't they? They will trust you. And that's the reason why we get so uptight with people who take advantage of our children's trust. That makes you want to take them out to the woodshed. I can say that because y'all know what I'm talking about. The new generation don't know what a woodshed is. Makes you want to just take them out behind a woodshed, don't it? God said, it's about a relationship with me. Not about all your fluff and stuff. Not about your outfits. Not about, listen, where are you with Him? Do you know this? And as much as you might know, here's what I can make you a promise. The more you learn that there's so much more that you need to learn. And you can learn a bunch every day of your life for the rest of your life and still just scratch the surface of what God wants you to know in His Word. Man, it's a cool journey. Grab some people to come along with you. It's fun doing it together. That's why I like my small group. What do? We sit around and talk about, we brag on Jesus. We talk about what He's doing, the things we're learning. That's what makes it fun. It's not about coming in and seeing how spiritual you can be. I don't even know what that is. Simple simplicity. Jesus is Lord. He's placed authority in our lives, and He expects us to be obedient. Maybe we just need to say, Lord, I've been doing a whole bunch of things my way, and now it's time to do things your way. If that's you, then you just confess to Him. Lord, listen, I know you're my Lord, you're my Savior. But I've been doing things my way. And it's time for me to stop doing things my way and do them your way. Maybe you need to have that prayer with Him today to start anew, a fresh walk with Him. Could you do that today? Listen, I'm going to ask our musicians if they'll take their place. This is the time that we call the invitation. It's God's invitation. It's not mine. It's all about Him. It's about what He has said to you. What has He stated to you about you placing yourself under the authority that's in your life? And what has He said to you that are in authority about how you use that authority in your life? Have you been a change agent for good for the Master? He's placed you where you are, and He's done it for a reason. You know what? We have a time of invitation. I still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call. The altar's open. I'll be here if you need me. For those of you that are online, if you've made decisions for Christ, please let us know. You can let Dr. Cazito know through our site or through a private message. We want to get you some information just to help you. We want to celebrate with you because you know what? This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, and that's to follow Christ, plain and simple. I will guarantee that. I will take that to the pearly gates, and you will understand the gravity of the decisions that you make in this day and age. What is it that you need to do? I'm here. The altar's open. As we stand, as we sing, you do business with God.
Invitation hymn 300, Without Him.
Without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him how lost I would be. Without Him I could be Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Who turn Him away? Oh Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be.
As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and as you do business with God, make sure that whatever He's put in your heart, you have dealt with this very day. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to You today, we once again realize that all that we have and every good thing comes from You. Lord, help us to be faithful to return to You the tithe and, Lord, to give the offering as You have led us to do so, realizing that that we can't outgive You. You have taken care of each and every need, and You show up in amazing ways in our lives. So, Lord, help us to be faithful to give back to You that which You have truly and richly blessed us with, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple quick things before we before we get you on out of here for the day. Choir practice, 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock this evening. If you're in the choir or want to be in the choir or should be in the choir, 5 o'clock this evening, right here, choir practice. Tonight is our Awana Awards night. This is where we kind of round out and end out our year, so we things won't be normal for here in the sanctuary. We're all going to be over there to support our kids. That's 5 o'clock, right? 6 o'clock. I was just testing to see if y'all were on target. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock. The Awana Awards is going to start at 6 o'clock p.m. So if you come here and you mess up, you will be in the choir from then on. Because if you show up here for a 6 o'clock Bible study, you just signed up for choir. Because we're going to be over in the other building for the awards for the kids at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you come back and show your support for our kids. Also, there is a blood drive coming up the 9th of this month. I say this month because this is May the 1st. So 5-9, May the 1st, from 2:30 to 6:30 p.m. right here. I'm sure that Katie could use you in some way, shape, form, or fashion if you can help. If you can't, then just come surrender your arm for a little while and give up a pint of blood. That is on the 5th. Is that a Tuesday or Wednesday? It's a Monday, okay. I was just testing you, too. It's a Monday. 5-9 on a Monday from 2:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. There will be a taco bar. She also needs some donations and some volunteers. Man, I'll tell you one thing. We eat good around here. That's why I give blood, so I can eat. I mean, I'll give up a pint in about 10 minutes so I can get me a good old taco. But if you can help out with any of that, see Katie. She's right up here in the front with the American Red Cross shirt on. She would love to put you to work. Also, just as a reminder, we have homecoming is going to be on the 15th. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. We encourage you. We welcome you to be here with us. We would love to have you here. I will actually be at a college graduation. My son's this time. I'll be the one that's gone on Mother's Day this year. I don't know why they do graduations on Mother's Day, but it seems like every college and university does that. But I feel like I better be at this one. So you will have, I believe it's Mike Barrett next week. You will get a chance to see Dennis again along the way in some other times that I'll have to be out, whether it's vacation or what have you. But we'll keep you posted. But please be with us Mother's Day. Then the week after that, which is the 15th, is our homecoming. Please join us for that. And then also we have the Sunday night singing coming up on at the end of this month, 5:22 at 6 o'clock. I know Brad's got some sign-up sheets out here. If you play or sing or whatever, we'd love to have you be a part of that. Also, I want to remind folks that we have a graduation Sunday that will be coming up in May to honor our graduates. Now, is everybody listening to me? Raise your hand if you're listening to me. I'll do it like Awana. 1, 2, 3. Put your hand up if you're listening to me. I don't see any hands on the online people, okay? We need you to fill out a graduate form for us. If there is a graduate, one of our graduates that is attending church here, we need you to get a graduation form. There's some in the narthex out there, or you can get them through the church office. That way we will know how many graduates we need to recognize on that day, whether it's high school, whether it's college, and we need to, we always like to try to present a little gift on behalf of Central Baptist Church. Please don't be typical Baptist. Don't wait until the Saturday before this and say, well, so-and-so's graduating. We need you to let us know, okay? So, y'all hear me? Hands up? Yeah. All right. Sound like a teacher now, don't I? That's typical of a Baptist church. You know, we do that. Listen, fill out that form for your graduate or get your graduate to fill it out. Get it back to us so that we will know how many people to prepare for coming up in June, our graduation Sunday, okay? I'm going to get David to come correct anything I have wronged and dismiss us in prayer or anything needs to be added, but I do want to just give you two things
Come on up, David, as David makes his way up here. Number one, pray for Patsy and Kim Bendigo. They are actually going to be moving this week to be closer to their daughter down in the, they'll be suffering down in that Myrtle Beach area. So, but we're going to miss them. Pray for Patsy and Kim as they'll be moving this week. Also, a lot of folks know, you've seen it if you followed our prayer list. We have been praying for Dixie Cole. That is the mother of David Cole. Dixie went on to be with the Lord this morning, so we want to keep that family in our prayers. That's David. That'll be David Cole's mother. So we want to keep that family in our prayers. We just learned this morning through an extended family member that Dixie passed. And keep them in your prayers, and pray that God will do some incredible things through the honoring the homegoing of his saints. All right, David, come get us on the right track and see us off.
Hope you picked up a bulletin this morning. First time in a long time we've had a bulletin. There's some on the table here. If you go out that door, there's probably still some in the foyer. It's got all of our scheduled activities in there. One of the things that got missed in the schedule for today is we have band rehearsal at 7 o'clock, and it's kind of the same thing. If you play an instrument and you would like to play an instrument and you would like to be in the band, we'd like for you to come. We practice on Sunday nights after church, but it's kind of tricky this month because we're not having a lot of Sunday night services this month because of the special emphasis of things, Mother's Day and Memorial Day is the last Sunday. Actually, the 22nd is the fifth Sunday night on the singing on the fourth Sunday night. Okay, so that might help you remember that. Homecoming, the church is going to provide meat and drinks, and we need, and bread, and we need you to bring side dishes and desserts. Okay, so if you don't bring them, we'll just be sitting here eating chicken. Okay. And for some of us, that's probably okay. Chicken biscuit wouldn't be bad. All right, but we do want you to participate in homecoming. We haven't been able to have that in a long time. Now, last thing, as far as I know, this is the last count on our Annie Armstrong offering, Easter offering. We actually ended up with $9,000, $2,000 over our goal. Thank you for giving to the Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions. Let me lead you in a word of prayer and we'll go home. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house and studying your word. God, we thank you for the men and women who go out day after day and risk their lives for our safety. Lord, we pray that you will watch over them and protect them and minister to their needs as they minister to us. Now, Lord, as we go our separate ways today, we pray that you'll bring us back tonight to be a part of the Awana Awards night, that we'll be able to celebrate with these children the accomplishments that they have done and they've worked hard for this year. Bless us as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.